Shalom Aleichem, welcome in. We're going to get started with the third parak today. And you'll remember that in the second parak, Ramchal introduced us to the first step in practical growth, the first step in an ongoing trajectory of growing as a person, as an Eved Hashem, and that first critical first step, which the Gemara in Avodah Zarah refers to as Zehirus, Ramchal had explained in the second parak, is a contemplation, thoughtfulness, thinking about life, living, going through life with one's mind and drive, rather than an autopilot, trying to think about the particular choices that I make and the overall masim and drachim, the overall arc, the path that I'm on. Okay, and it sounded good, and he had spoken in the second parak about how this is an ancient problem. This is not unique to the digital generation. This problem goes back to the days of Yirmiyahu. Was concerned about this. Chagai was concerned about this. And he had noted that Paro was well aware of the value of distraction and the value of busy work as a way of disabling people from thinking bigger thoughts and getting to bigger places. And Kenya associates the Hara that Paro was not only a particular human being who did this to the Jewish people who were enslaved in Mitzrayim, but Paro is also a symbol and perhaps a metaphor for the Eitz Hara within each of us who seeks to get us just so busy that we don't have time to stop and think and reach our core that we can achieve greater things. That was Parak Beis, the basic concept of Zehirus. As Ramchal promised, with every Midah, once he talks about the basic concept, because this is a practical work, he's going to move on to discuss it in detail, that particular Midah, and then to talk about how to acquire that Midah and pitfalls to avoid. So here we are in Parak Gimel. Chalke has Zehirus, if you're following along in the Sefaria edition, or in any other edition, we're at the very beginning of the third Parak of Mizil Shishar. He knew how to tell So let's say you want to be mitzakeh. I'd like to engage in zehirus. I'd like to engage in self-reflection. How do I go about doing this? Ramchal is going to introduce us to a series of three pairs of ideas, which together will help us flesh out the practical how-to of zehirus. The first pair is two hashkafos. What do you mean by two hashkafos? Not two ideologies, the way we use hashkafa nowadays. But literally, the hashkif is to look out, or to look out on an area, to look down upon an area. Two perspectives, two questions, Ramchal is telling us that we need to ask. The two questions we need to consider. Ha'achat, in section days, ha'achat she is benen ma'o ha'tov ha'amiti she'evchar bo'o adam, the ha'ra ha'amiti she'enus mimeno. The first hashkif, the first question to consider, is to be mizbanim, to spend time, carve out time to sit and think out what's truly good that I ought to be choosing, and what is ra amiti, what's truly wrong, truly evil, truly bad, shianus mimenu, that I ought to be fleeing. What ought I be doing? The hashmira in section gimel, the hashmira, the second hashkafa, the second question to consider, is the hama'asim asher hu oseh, the actions that I'm actually doing. Leraos is in the kalatov or the kalhara to figure out, look at what I'm actually doing, and using the results of question number one, figure out, well, how is what I'm doing correspond? Where does it fall? Is it on the good side or the bad side? Is it appropriate or inappropriate? In other words, the two basic questions you have to think about are the ideal and the real. I just sit and think about, you know, how ideally I ought to be living, but I never look in the mirror and ask myself, how am I actually doing? That's going to be of limited value. And conversely, if I only think about the second question, I spend time making the cheshbon nefesh, but never really consider what's right and what's wrong, so I may be more self-aware, but if I don't figure out the moral compass, I may know how I deal with a particular relationship, but I need to also think about what is the cheshbon expect of me in that situation. So that's the first pair of Ramchal lays out. Two hashkafos, two questions, to consider the ideal, and to consider the real. To think about, for instance, different encounters I have with people over the course of my week. Let's imagine a person is doing this on a weekly basis. One day a week, his time on his commute that allows for 10, 15 minutes to just sit and ponder. You're on the train, let's say, and you know that on Tuesday evening, on the way back, public transportation, you have a good 10, 15 minutes. You can just sit quietly, safely, and just self-reflect. He's going to check in with himself. He knows there are particular situations with particular people, particular relationships, which are sometimes challenging. And you want to spend some time thinking about those scenarios that come up with particular people, those scenarios that come up with particular mitzvahs that I find difficult sometimes to come through on, particular averus, particular desires I sometimes find have a hard time curbing, or whether they be be'am l'chaver, be'am l'makam. And to spend some time thinking about how ought I to be handling those situations. When I encounter that person, when a particular fellow makes comments that are hurtful, makes comments that are lashon hara by a third party, makes comments that are crass and crude, I know these situations come up. The first hashkafa, the first question is, what would be the right thing to do? Sometimes it's obvious, and sometimes it's not. There'll be situations where it's pretty clear to us what a Kadosh Baruch Hu expects of us, and the difficulty is in following through, and there are situations which are thornier. It might not even be so clear what is the right path. So that's the first thing, is to consider different situations that come up, and how ought I to handle them? What would a Kadosh Baruch Hu want of me? And then, to spend some time considering, on a Tuesday evening, for instance, to think over what I've been over the course of the past week, and to think about, you know, where does it fall? How does it correspond? How many times have I lived up to my understanding of the choices that Kadosh Baruch Hu wants me to make? So that's the first pill, two hashkafos. And then, if you're following along in the Safaria edition, we're up to paragraph Dalet, here comes the second pair. V'zeh, this idea of Zahiris plays itself out, v'sha'at ma'isa, v'shelo v'sha'at ma'isa, at a time of action and at some other time. Two different contexts in which Zahiris plays out. Let's see how he explains it. In paragraph A, v'sha'at ma'isa, what do I mean by Zahiris v'sha'at ma'isa? Zahiris at the moment of action, the moment of decision, as he explains, shlo ya'aseh shum ma'aseh b'li sheyishkol oso, the Mosne Zot idea. Not to take action without first weighing in the scale of this understanding. In other words, rational decision making. The use of Shas Maisa means, number one, not to act without thinking, not to just go with the flow and just do whatever, to act thoughtlessly. And number two, the use of Shas Maisa also means not only that we act with thought, but that the decision making heuristic that I use is predicated on ultimate values. So I'm thinking through my decisions, I'm thinking through based not on what's expedient or what's simplest or what will gain me the most social points to the people around me, but what's driving my decision making are the ultimate values of what is, as you said before, Tov Amiti and Ra Amiti. What's truly good? What's truly wrong? What would HaKadosh Baruch Hu want of me? So that's Zahiris B'Sha'at Ma'aseh, is a thoughtful, rational, spiritually enlightened decision making. Thinking things through before we act. And then there's the second context in paragraph Vav, the Shalom B'Sha'at Ma'aseh. What is the hero's Shalom B'Sha'at Ma'aseh, both from the outside of the moment of action? That means what we were describing before, making a cheshbon ha'nefesh, to review at a peaceful, quiet, calm moment, to review memories of decisions done past. Maybe to think over the past day, to think over the past week. Hopefully I'm doing this more than once a year, so it's not only, you know, to think over the course of Musaf or Ne'ilah of Yom Kippur, the actions of the past year, but however frequently I'm engaging in Cheshbon HaNefesh, in Zahiris Shelo B'Sha'at Ma'aseh, to think about where I've been and decisions I've made over the past period of time, and to weigh past actions also and to use that metaphor from before, the scales of this understanding. There's a very dense line. He says, I'm going to do cheshva nefesh in order to accomplish what? I'm going to identify decisions I've made, actions I've taken that were right, and actions I've taken that were wrong. And it's not a question of wallowing in self-pity. You want to look at what was wrong with my chesha. So to be practical, I'll recognize mistakes I've made. I'll be honest with myself with mistakes I've made so that I can be different in the future. So that I can push it away going forward. Well, I'm not told, and I should spend time as well looking at what I've done, considering great decisions I've made. That was a difficult situation. I handled it well. So here, I remember to be sensitive to this person. In this situation, there wasn't a sayo. There was temptation to do the wrong thing, and I managed to be strong, and I kept my values. So, and then he goes on to say, not only is it important. Excuse me for just a moment. Thank you so much. I'm sorry I lost you here for just a moment. Coming back to the end of paragraph Zion, to the middle of paragraph Zion, the third parak, he says, I need to spend time taking pride in what I've done right and noticing the things I've done right. Cheshva nefesh cannot only be a self-flagellation and recognize that I did wrong. I have to take pride in that, to be honest with myself what I did wrong, and also honest with myself what I've done right. And he has another pair of phrases here. I should recognize what I've done right. I can do both masmid and mitchazek. I think that's quantitative and qualitative. Lahasmid means to do it with greater asmada, to do it more frequently. And I see that I was able to conquer that situation. I was able to succeed over that nisayon, over that situation. So I'll know that I can do it again. With mitchazek, though, it's not only a question of doing it again, quantitatively, but the mitchazek sounds like to do it better, to improve. Recognize what I've done well, so I can build on that. I can build on that in frequency, I can build on that in quality. And then he moves on to, in greater detail, let's talk, what do I do? I've thought about some common situations. I've spent some time considering honestly, in as unbiased a way as possible, what do I think a Kaddish Baruch would want of me in this situation? And then I ask myself the honest question. I encountered this type of three times, four times in the course of the past week. How did I do? It means that I have been hara. If I am honest with myself, and in the course of honesty, recognize that there was one time, two times, three times, four times that I made the wrong choice, and that I acted that way. All these benim the achodes techlor eder tachbula yaaseh. Then I need to think deeply and creatively about what technique will I adopt for the future. Not to wallow in self-pity, not to beat myself up. I can't believe I did that. I have to be honest with the choices that I made. But the point is to snap forward in a positive way. Let me see how I can, let's be proactive. What can I do differently? If I never take that part out the time to think, so I'm going to come there again, and every time I'm sort of reinventing the wheel and hoping that that somehow I'll pull myself through. But instead, let's carve out the time to consider the situation. I know it's been difficult. I realize over the past week or the past month, I've had a very hard time handling a particular person calmly, and I've had a very hard time handling a particular person without insult, without being insulting, without speaking to Shon Hara. I had a very difficult time handling a particular person in an appropriate fashion. So let me think now. That's why it's a huge Shalom B'Shach Mindset. It's not in the moment. The passions are not inflamed, the frustrations are not inflamed, I'm out of the situation, I'm on the bus going home, I can think I'm on the train going home, I have a quiet moment before diving, after diving, during my lunch break, whatever it is, in the quiet moment, Shlomo Shas Maisa, I can consider calmly what's the best way to handle it. Eida Tachbula Yasa, what technique, what trick? Do I need to avoid a situation? Do I need to set myself up differently? Do I need to, I know that I'm going to have a meeting every Thursday at 3 with a particular person to present the challenge. Now I'm going to be massaging myself going in. But what do I need to do to succeed, to strategize in advance? To avoid that ra and to be sure of it. Again, a pair of phrases. I don't know whether it means as before, you know, to avoid it more or less and to be totally clear, or maybe he means either to avoid the situation, or if the situation is not avoidable next time, to figure out how to be clean of the Yetzihara that is implicit in that situation. So far we've seen two pairs of ideas that to flesh out the concept of the Zahiris. And we spoke about in reverse order, we spoke about the Zahiris really in two different contexts. It sounded like two different times. We really saw two different types of things. B'Shas Maisa and Shlo B'Shas Maisa, they both have to do with thoughtfulness, but one is a question of decision-making, prospective decision-making. The Zahiris B'Shas Maisa is looking forward to make the decisions for the future. The Zahiris Shlo B'Shas Maisa, at a quiet moment, not only a different time, but a different modality. It's a question of retrospective, looking back, making a cheshbon nefesh from time to time, periodically, to consider where I've been and how I've done and how I want to, what parts of the past do I want to move forward into the future, what parts of the past do I want to modify and change and edit going forward. And then, of course, the two core questions that I'm asking, I need to be focused on what I'm doing and also what I ought to be doing, the ideal and the real. Let's close up for today with the third pair. Actually, you know, the third pair will take us into some new ideas, some new core concepts. Maybe we're going to, we'll pause here for today. We'll pick up next week with paragraph Zion, with the third pair of ideas that Ramchal uses to fully flesh out the notion of the years. And I will tell you that beyond this, the balance of the third paragraph is, I think I may have mentioned, Ramchal, from, one gets the impression that even though his overall organizational scheme for the entire Sefer is the Heroes and Zerizos and the Kiyos and so forth, the steps that are appears to be your enumerating in Rav Odazara, it seems pretty clear that the Ramchal had particular mini-essays on different topics that he wanted to make sure to get in. One gets the impression they almost are like sound spots of the course of Sefer to stick in different key discussions that may not have neatly fit into anyone needs that, but he thought were very important to discuss. Going forward, at one point, there's going to be a digression, a mini-essay on Chesed. There's going to be, at one point, a mini-essay on Tshuva. And our first digression is actually coming up in Paragimel. There'll be a series of different critical concepts that tie together about guidance, about perspective, about Olam Hazeh. So that is part of the coming attraction. In the balance of the third parak. I'm leaving off. I'm glad to take questions.